Praise God, praise God, praise God,
praise God,
praise God, praise God, come. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's hard for us to imagine after 10,000 years, we still have no less time, no less days to sing your praise. Lord, help us to see the truth in that. Help us not to value the things in this life. Lord, so many times we hold on to things that aren't worth it. Help us to see, Lord, what you're offering to the world, eternal life. Lord, fill us today. Save us today. Heal the sick today. Be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Increase our faith, Lord. May we have your faith to believe what you promised to us. Lord, I ask you to bless each one today. You see the needs and the burdens they carry. Lord, there's only so much we can do as mortal men, but with God, all things are possible. And Lord, I ask you to bless each one today. Bless this service. We commit it now to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated for a moment. Praise the Lord. So we're happy to be here today, and I know Maureen did something special for the fathers, even though it's not Father's Day this week, it's next week, but I say every day's Father's Day.
Amen.
Right? And it should be like that, but she wanted to do something while we're having a fellowship meal, so I appreciate her efforts, the thought that goes into it. She's just got a gift for those kind of things, so I appreciate that. So we'll have time of fellowship. After you get something to eat and have time of fellowship, there's a few things I could use some help from some of the brothers to, there's some things we're doing over here. We're going to have the, liner repaired in the baptismal pool. There's a small leak somewhere, and the place that, sold it has a service that'll actually take it, clean it, and repair it and things like that. So it's going to take a little effort to fold it up. And then we're also hanging something back here. So anyway, if you have some time, we could get that today. We want to move the piano from here over to the other side there. Praise the Lord. Are you happy today? You know, as we were singing that song, Amazing Grace, I started thinking, you know, what is the value of eternal life? How do we really understand what God has offered to us? And I don't think we really understand. You know, because if everybody really believed that is what he's offering, is eternal life, there's nothing that compares to that. Nothing. There's nothing in this life that's worth holding on to trade. You know, when I was a young boy, I remember being raised a Catholic, and they talk about the devil and temptation and things, and they would paint pictures of the devil and tempting you to smoke or to do whatever. And I remember as a little boy realizing, you know, nothing the devil offers is worth it. There's just nothing that the devil is trying to do, you know, but he's trying to trick us. He's trying to deceive us. And I remember I prayed a prayer as a little boy, knowing just the humanity we are. I said, Lord, just never let me make a deal with the devil. You know, I want to have eternal life. As a little boy, I remember thinking about it, that if you could have everything you want in this life, if you could live 100 years or even 150 years and have everything you want in this life, how does that compare to eternal life? And I remember as a little boy, I just would think about that and saying, there's nothing here that the devil can offer that's worth it. There's nothing. Amen. Let nothing be between my soul and my Savior. Amen. You know? And so when we think about the gospel and we think about our humanity and how we fail, repentance is the greatest thing that we can have in our hearts, a real, genuine repentance. As we go through the book of Acts and we see the gospel was preached in simplicity, it wasn't just preaching remission of sins, it was preaching repentance and remission of sins. That's the gospel, see, because we need to repent. Amen. Every one of us needs to repent. Amen. And that's not just one time in our life. As soon as you come into your right mind and you realize you've done wrong, you realize you agree, God, repent right then. Amen. Just say, God, I'm sorry. I don't want to do that. Amen. Confess your sins to God. Say, God, because His Word said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So realizing that there's nothing here that's worth trading for eternal life, we need to embrace conviction and repentance. Like in Laodicean church age, repent quickly. Yes. Quickly. As soon as you have that thought in your mind, I need to repent, repent quickly. Don't put it off. Because I also remember as a young boy, I wanted to serve God, and I saw the Catholic priests up there, and I saw the nuns, and I said, well, I want to serve God, but I want a family, you know? And I thought, I thought the only way to serve God is become a priest, or for the women to become a nun, you know? It is a sacrifice that they make. A woman who becomes a nun, she gives her whole life to the Catholic Church. You know, a priest, he forsakes, you know, having a family to be a priest. That's a sacrifice. But it's unnecessary, isn't it? How terrible is the devil to make people do sacrifices that God doesn't require? So, but you have to admire somebody that's willing, right, to make a great sacrifice. Someone who's willing to lay down their life for others. And so we want to make sacrifices to our God, but we want to do what's in His will, right? What's in the will of God. Praise the Lord. So I just was talking to you today about the announcements. Let's all stand. I want to read from the book of Acts again. And the title of today's message is All Things Are Possible. Do we believe that? We know that, but do we really believe it? You know, like I was saying about eternal life, we know that the gospel offers eternal life, but many people know that, but they don't really want to trade, they don't want to forsake anything in this life for that. They just want to hold on. So do we really believe that all things are possible? Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Let's pray one more time before we read His word. Heavenly Father, Lord, my words will fail, but Your word can never fail. And we're trusting in Your word. We're trusting, we're solemnly trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and that sacrifice. And Lord, today we're trusting that the Bible is the word of God. That these scriptures, even though it was penned by the hand of a man, but it was Your Spirit behind pushing and motivating the thought that was penned. And Lord, we believe it's Your Word, and You watched over Your Word, and we embrace it. It's our absolute. We hold on to it. But Lord, we're also very conscious that unless You, by Your grace and mercy, help us see it properly, then we won't see it properly, Lord. So Lord, help us to not only know and have a knowledge of the Word of God, but help us to have Your Spirit so we can apply the Word of God properly. Lord, we see many religious people in the world that are misusing the Scriptures, Lord, misplacing, misinterpreting. Lord, help us, keep us today. Bless the reading of Your Word. Bless each one that's here. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You may be seated. God bless you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, the book of Acts is so packed full of stories and miracles. There's no way that we could possibly cover everything in there. We just stay in there the whole time. But this caught my attention, and it's really just a simple thought. You know, our God can do anything.
Amen.
And I believe we're at the end time. I believe we're in the last days, and I believe that Jesus is coming. We sang he's coming soon, and I do believe that he's going to finish this great plan in a wonderful way. And I don't believe that the end of all of the gospel and the coming of Jesus and the resurrection is going to depend on our righteousness and our figuring things out. I believe that solemnly, by the grace of God, when it's his time, he's going to come in a supernatural way, and he's going to move upon chosen people, predestinated before the foundation of the world, and by his grace and mercy, he's going to move the same way he always does, in a wonderful supernatural way. He's going to pour out his spirit upon people, and I believe he's going to use believers. I do that. I really believe. You believe that?
Amen.
It's not going to depend on our righteousness and works. It's going to depend on God and his sovereign grace. So that's what I see in the book of Acts. These people were not, I wouldn't say they're better than everybody else. They were common people. They were fishermen. They were not, most of them were not highly educated and popular and famous. And, you know, that's what's great about our God. Even though he's so great, he humbles himself.
Amen.
That is one of the most outstanding things. I don't know if you've ever dwelt on that thought. God, the God of all creation, loves to hide himself.
Amen.
Why does he love to hide himself? Well, it doesn't matter why, he does. Because it's part of his nature. He didn't make this creation and then come down in glory. He made this creation and came down in humility. And God, whenever you see him operate, he always operates in that humility. When you look at the New Testament, you look at what he's done in the last days, God moves in humility. Doesn't move in pride and arrogance. So if we see that, if that gets on us, if we see it on somebody, you need to pray. See, there's some wrong spirit there. God, help us to see how little we can get in our own eyes. So here, you know, this first church, they were not great people. They didn't think they were great. They were common people. They experienced the grace of God. Jesus came to them. Amen. And he touched their lives. And when Jesus comes to you and touches you, you're never the same again.
Amen.
Doesn't mean you're perfect. It means the perfect one came into your life.
Amen.
Thank God he did.
Amen.
So what a time for the newborn church. I call it a newborn church because I believe the New Testament church was born on the day of Pentecost. That's when the Holy Spirit came down as a sound of a mighty rushing wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. Filled them with the Holy Ghost. Let it be, Lord. Let it be again. So I believe it's promised. So this newborn church, they had just recently been filled with the Holy Ghost that was promised to them. I want you to see, they moved from being witnesses of Jesus, the Word made flesh. They moved from that to becoming the Word made flesh. See, at one point they were witnesses. But then when that Holy Spirit came and baptized them and filled them and the supernatural power of God started moving, then they themselves became the Word made manifest, written epistles read of all men. You know, when Peter walked by the gate called Beautiful, silver and gold have I none. Such as I have given. Who was that? That wasn't Peter. That was God in Peter. God had taken over Peter. Lord, let it be. Take us over. See, that's the great mystery. God would reveal himself in Christ, and then he'd have preeminence in a body of believers, his church. He wants to have preeminence in us. That's why you can feel the Holy Spirit grieved in you if you do something wrong. Because when we do something, when we disobey God, when we go against the word of God, when we go against what we know is right, iniquity is in our life, see, and we yield to the wrong thing, that grieves the Holy Ghost, and he has to back off a little bit. Amen. Like a little dove, right? Takes flight on the fence and just watches us for a while. Because when we yield to that flesh man, we're going the wrong way. If our divine purpose is to let the Holy Spirit, that sweet dove, have preeminence, then every time we go the wrong way, we're going against the purpose why we're here in this life. But when we yield to the Holy Spirit, that satisfies us. When we forsake the wrong and do the right, and that Holy Spirit's pleased to dwell in us, see, it's not a law, it's about your purpose. God wants to live in you. God wants to have preeminence in you. So the church had experienced this. They saw the word made manifest in them. And, you know, what a difference from just knowing the word to becoming the word made manifest. See, a lot of people today know the word, but how many are actually the word made manifest? That's what I see in the book of Acts. It's not just a letter. It's not just I am a witness of something. It's I'm a witness because I'm part of what's happening. Praise God. So they had seen Saul, the great persecutor, have a great conversion. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Here's somebody that the church was like dreading. He's going around hauling people into prison, you know, consenting to the death of Stephen. And you know, he was probably there for a lot of people that were beaten and murdered and hauled away. And he was passionately against this movement of the Christians. And then all of a sudden, they find him in the temple preaching that Christ is the fulfillment. He was the Messiah. And they're looking at him going, is he for real? Is he trying to infiltrate our ranks? Is he pretending? They were human beings, right?
Amen.
But God had miraculously saved Saul. You know, God's still in the saving business.
Amen.
I don't care how far gone somebody is. I don't care what's happening in their life. Our God can touch them. They can have a on the road to Damascus experience. God can knock them off their high horse, can change their ideas, take all the wrong out, fill them with the Holy Ghost. Let it be, Lord. So we need to have that kind of faith. See, don't get discouraged by somebody's behavior. You have a loved one that's not right and they seem so far from God. Say, all things are possible with my God. All things are possible. I may not understand why it's waited so long, but I don't care. My God is God.
Amen.
That's what I want us to be, the kind of people that say, my God is God. With my God, all things are possible.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And we should have that kind of faith.
Amen.
We should not be the kind of people that walk by sight. No, the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. I love that it's raining right now, by the way.
Amen.
Let it rain, Lord.
Amen.
Let it rain. Let it gusher from heaven. Come down right now. Praise God. Oh, don't you have expectations? I realize in myself there's more to Christianity than just going to church.
Amen.
Which going to church is a good thing.
Amen.
God uses that.
Amen.
There's more to Christianity than reading your Bible. Now, reading your Bible is a good thing.
Amen.
And we should read our Bible. We do read our Bible. But there's more to it than that.
Amen. Hallelujah.
God wants to live in us.
Amen.
God's intention was not to have denominations and cold formal religion and ceremony.
Amen.
I remember, like I said, as a little kid going around and the statues in the church and the stations of the cross, and I was an altar boy, lit the incense, and I went through all the formal religion. But one day, I realized that God is not hiding in that little tabernacle there. He wants to hide in this tabernacle.
Amen.
He wants to live in us.
Amen.
That changed my life. And then my eyes were opened to all this formal religion, all this denominationalism. It's not God. And then God sent a message to this generation. He used a humble Kentucky hillbilly to manifest the word of God. And when I saw that, some, like an eagle cry within me said, I believe that.
Amen.
That's what God is. He's a powerful God. He's a miracle working God.
Amen.
And my expectations haven't changed.
Amen.
Now, can we produce a miracle in ourselves? No. But I can believe all things are possible. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. They'd seen the great persecutor converted and become a mighty promoter of the gospel. Praise God. They saw that the gospel was not just for the Jews. Like last week, it just like a God had to knock them over the head and turn a light bulb on and say, because they got exclusive with it. We see the same thing today. Oh, nobody can get saved unless they're in my church. Nobody can get saved unless they're in the message. You know, God saves who He wants to save.
Amen.
God uses who He wants to use.
Amen.
And don't go exclusive with God. You're not God. He's God.
Amen.
And what we need to realize is God does things and doesn't always tell us about it. God doesn't always explain everything. Look at the book of Acts Church. They didn't understand a lot of things. But you don't have to understand everything.
Amen.
You need to believe God. Praise God. So He's the Lord of all nations. He's the Lord of all people, not just the Jews. So, and then imagine the shock when James was killed. Now, let me say this. Sometimes things happen we don't understand. And it's a shock to us because we know God can do anything. God could have stopped it, right? I mean, God could do anything, but He allowed it to happen. And sometimes when sad things happen in this life, we don't understand why. And really, at that moment, we need to realize, don't dwell on the why. You may not get that answer in this life. But that's the moment that we trust Him.
Amen.
If you understand how everything's going, you don't have to trust Him. Everything's going fine. It's when things go the way that you weren't expecting them to go. It's when tragedy happens. It's when your house burns down. It's when you lose your job. It's when someone dies that you love. That's when you trust God.
Amen.
That's when trust becomes a big word. Do we trust Him? They had to trust Him. You know, we have no choice. What are you going to do? Turn on God and say, God, you didn't do it the way I wanted you to do it. Who are we? He has a plan that we don't understand. So imagine the shock, and maybe they never understood in this life, but in the other life we'll understand. And then Peter's taken. Oh, no. James was just killed. Peter, oh, God, where are you? Have you ever felt like that? God, where are you? What's happening? Things were going so well. What's wrong? Nothing was wrong. God knows what He's doing.
Amen.
So Herod had plans to kill Peter, and he wanted to wait till after Easter, and Herod put Peter in prison, and he put four quatrains. I had to look that up because I didn't know what it was. But a quaternion, or whatever that word is, a quaternion, one of them is four soldiers. So two soldiers would be chained to the prisoner, like one on each side, chained to him, and then two would stand watch. That's a quaternion. Well, Herod assigned four to Peter. Now, maybe that was just so they could take shifts. I don't know. Right? Probably. Four soldiers there. But he didn't want Peter to get away, did he? He heard about this guy rising from the dead, you know. So he said, I don't want him getting away. We're not going to bury him. We're going to put him in the prison. We're going to put two... Oh, I just love man when man thinks he knows better than God. And God's just sitting there watching. All right, go ahead. See, God and the angels watching, put the shackles on. Yes, sir. Praise God. So the saints at this time become in a desperate condition. And frankly, can you place yourself in their shoes? Peter gets taken. I'm sure they recognize that God had used Peter in a mighty way on the day of Pentecost. And even though, you know, Peter wasn't perfect, God was using him. By the gate called Beautiful, you know, Peter wasn't taking credit for anything. He says, don't look at me, it's God. Amen. It's in the name of Jesus Christ. That's why this man's healed. And so they saw the Holy Spirit in Peter. They didn't want Peter to die. And so they get in a desperate condition. To be honest, I think we have it too easy today. Amen? You see, when the church gets under pressure, that's when she produces what she really is. And I believe that's why God foreordained the squeeze. Before the foundation of the world, he said, all right, I'm going to have a people there. I see the conditions of Laodicea. I see people falling asleep. We're going to have a squeeze in this thing. Amen. We're going to have pressure. Now, how is that going to come? I don't know. And if people tell you they know, they don't know. They can imagine. They can try and figure out. Listen, it's going to come. There's going to come a pressure. Don't be surprised. It'll actually be good news because when that pressure comes down, it's getting late. It's time to go. So we don't have enough real desperation today, if you ask me. So the squeeze is going to come because the bride of Christ, I believe, needs to be under real pressure to manifest who she is. She doesn't push herself out in front. She's humble. She has the Holy Spirit. So they had a prayer meeting, and what do you think they were praying about at this prayer meeting? Yeah. We think they're praying, well, Lord, I'd like to have a Cadillac. Lord, I'd like to have a bunch of money in the bank. No, I don't think they were praying like that. When that pressure come on, all of a sudden they knew it was important. Lord, save Peter. Yes. How about it? There was some real praying going on. Lord, we don't understand why James was taken, but Lord, save Peter.
Right. Amen.
I believe that's what they were praying. What do you think?
Amen.
They had a prayer meeting in the house, and they're praying and not praying selfish and trying to make their lives comfortable like sometimes we do, but they were praying for somebody else. You know what? It really is good to pray for somebody else besides yourself. And so they're praying for Peter, and they're asking God to deliver him, and they're pleading with God to save him. Can you imagine there was some real praying going on? Different kind of praying, you know, when you're desperate. Peter, therefore, is kept in the prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Without ceasing. They're praying. Praying for Peter, for him, unto God, praying without ceasing. Prayer changes things.
Amen.
See, and I think we need to have real faith that prayer does change things. We need to have real faith that all things are possible.
Amen.
Don't look at the circumstances. Regardless of the conditions, God's word is true.
Amen.
That's the kind of faith we need to have. So let's go to Acts chapter 12, verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, oh my, you have to love this.
Amen.
The same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord. It's just not fair, is it? It's not fair to the devil, but I don't care. My God is God.
Amen.
And I can keep that in my pocket. And I keep that in the back of my mind. When things are really bad, God can come on the scene in a supernatural way. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. You know, sometimes God can shine a light, and some people can see it, and some people can't.
Amen.
Sometimes a light shines, it blinds some people, and it gives other people the direction, right? So a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands.
Amen.
Now, how did that happen? Say, well, maybe they didn't secure the chains just properly. No, they spent a lot of time making sure those chains are just right. We need to realize God is supernatural.
Amen.
there is no chain that can bind you.
Hallelujah.
There is nothing the devil can do to you that he can't break it.
Amen.
But the devil wants you to believe you can't break these chains. You can't stop this. You can't stop that. Listen, with my God, all things are possible. If you're struggling with a spiritual problem or any problem, you need to believe God can break the chains.
Amen.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, my God could come down. He could smote my side. He could say, arise up, and the chains are gone.
Amen.
Believe that. The chains can be broken. They fell from his hands, and the angel said to him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Now, Peter had seen a vision before. And, you know, I have never seen a vision like that. But we know that a vision is just as real as if you're there. We've heard enough testimonies of Brother Branham and different people. I know brothers myself that have seen visions. They told me about them.
Amen.
They're actually seeing something. Peter actually saw the canopy come down, and he said, don't call that which is clean. Don't call it common. God had him go with the Gentiles, right? And here now the angel comes to him in reality in the prison. He's like, well, maybe I'm just a dreaming, or maybe it's a vision, or... Praise God. You know what I love?
Amen.
We don't have to have it all figured out.
Hallelujah.
And when the supernatural comes, and it will come,
amen,
you will not have it all figured out.
Hallelujah.
But if the angel tells you to go, then go.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And so he wasn't sure if it was a vision. And when they, look at verse 10. When they were past the first and second ward, now how did the chains fall, and how did they get out of this prison? All things are possible.
Amen. Hallelujah.
When they were past the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. How did the gate open? Well, the angel got the remote and he pushed the button. No, with God, all things are possible. And this is what I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to believe. All things are possible. We are not people that look at the circumstances and go down in despair. We say, yeah, it looks bad, but my God is God. And all things are possible. And in a moment, these chains can be gone from me, from someone else. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise the living Lord.
This is a Book of Acts church.
Amen.
Supernatural things.
Amen.
Which opened of his own accord, and they went out and passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Now, why didn't the angel stay with him? You know, we just love things our way, you know? But God has a plan. God has a plan. So he delivered him from prison. And then he's on his own, right? It's like when Lazarus was raised from the dead, he was still all bundled up. And the people had to loose all the things off of him. Well, Jesus, when you raised Lazarus from the dead, how come you didn't take all the sheets off him too? There's something for us to do.
Amen.
There's something for us to do in this plan. God, when he comes in a supernatural way, he just doesn't do everything. He does his part that he needs to do. And then there's a part for us to do.
Amen.
I'm so glad of that.
Amen.
I want to do my part.
Amen.
I want you to do your part.
Amen.
We ought to be willing. We ought to say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it.
Amen.
So he goes out. He's in the street. The angel leaves him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews.
Amen.
Praise God. Peter's standing there in the street. He's like, this wasn't no vision. This really happened. I'm free.
Yes.
He set me free. Yes, he set me free.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
You know, when Jesus sets you free, you know about it.
Amen.
At some point, you're going to realize he set me free.
Amen.
The chains are gone. I'm out of prison.
Amen.
You know, Peter's sitting there going, I walked right through a wall. That gate just opened before us. Praise God. I've heard testimonies like that.
Amen.
Believers that were in prison and then they just got out somehow.
Amen.
And then they're outside the prison saying, how did that happen? Because God is still God.
Yes.
Praise God. Is anything too hard for God?
No.
I want you to have that kind of faith always, every day of your life. There is nothing too hard for God.
Amen.
Say, but Brother John, look at the conditions. Oh my, the church is not where it should be. Yeah, you're right. But my God is God. And he loves a last minute rescue.
Amen.
He loves to, I don't know why he does it, but he loves to come in there and save the day. So when you're in that situation and there's nowhere to turn and there's chains on every side and there's walls and prisons, and just look up and say, Lord, now it's time for you to come.
Amen.
I'm not going to sit there fidgeting with the chain on my wrist. I'm going to say, Lord, you can make that chain fall off.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Never limit God.
Right.
Never.
Amen.
But we do. Do you know how we limit God? We look at the circumstances, and then our mind starts reasoning. Say, oh, man, it's pretty bad. I can't see how that's a...
Amen.
Wait a minute. When you do that, you're limiting God. You're saying, God, you can't do anything here. This is terrible. Help us, Lord. Help us to have eternal eyesight, to get out, to go far like an eagle, fly up higher and see things. You know, that God can do.
Amen.
We should really believe all things are possible.
Amen.
All things are possible. Because our God is God.
God.
You know, I never forget that scene in the Ten Commandments. Have you ever seen Charlton Heston and Yul Brynner in the Ten Commandments? At the end of the movie, where after the Red Sea closes on the army, and Yul Brynner's like, oh, I did it again, you know, and the army's destroyed. He comes back and he's going to kill his wife, and she says, show me the blood of Moses, and he throws the sword down, and she says, you couldn't even kill him. And he's sitting there in the chair. I'll never forget it because it's inspiring to me. And he's sitting in the chair and he goes, Moses, God is God.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise
Moses, God is God. The devil knows that. Your God is God.
Amen.
We're not serving a dead God.
Amen.
We're serving the one true living God.
Amen.
And there's power in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you truly believe that his sacrifice on Calvary took your place, you can be saved by the grace of God. I believe it. See? Now, don't just stop there. If you really believe it, it's going to start something in you.
Amen.
Right? And let it keep going. Let it keep going. That grace that comes on you in justification, that grace will lead you into sanctification.
Amen.
It doesn't lead you into greasy grace. Real grace leads you to a sanctified life.
Amen.
Not because it's a law, but because that's where grace leads. Grace doesn't lead you to do things that are wrong. Grace leads you to do things that God wants you to do. Grace leads you to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See, that's the grace of God. So follow that in your life. Praise God. Our God is God. And we could say every day of our life, we could wake up in the morning and maybe you're aching and you don't feel so good and you got all kinds of problems and you got burdens to carry, but you can say, but my God is God.
Amen.
I got things I can't overcome, but my God can.
Amen.
Lord, I got troubles. Lord, I know you love to do that which looks impossible. Well, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got 24 impossible things in my life today, Lord. Which one are you going to take care of? We ought to be a people that expects God to move. I believe he loves to be known as our deliverer. I think he must be offended sometimes when we walk around. Oh, things are bad, 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 bad. Things are bad. Just look at the way things are. Just look at my family members. Look at my boss and my job. And then, oh my, look at the people I work with. Look at my family. Look at my husband. Look at my wife. Look, what are you looking? You're looking at the wrong things. Look to your God. You can overcome right where you are. But Brother John, if I just had a new job, I'd be an overcomer. Wait a minute. Where's the faith that says, in right where I am, I can overcome?
Amen.
He can do all things right now.
Amen.
But Brother John, I got things in my way. You just don't understand. I don't need to understand. With my God, all things are possible.
Amen.
He makes a way where there is no way. He gives hope to the hopeless.
Amen.
He gives rest to the weary.
Amen.
He heals the sick. He raises the dead. He opens the blinded eyes. Oh, but Brother John, I got loved ones and they're so far gone. His arm's not short.
No.
Do you think anybody can outrun God?
No.
Nobody can outrun God. You know what our problem is? We got real problems in our life. We got real situations and we give it to God. We say, God, I can't handle it. You take care of it. And then a week later, we're taking it back. Lord, you're not doing so good. Let me take that from you.
Amen.
Let me pack that burden one more time and prove to myself that I can't do anything. And then when we're carrying the burden, we say, I guess I'm not doing very good. Lord, you can have it back now. Let's leave it with God. Let's not put a time limit on God. See, remember, we're bound by time. It's one of the chains that's on us. But we need eternal eyesight to realize, listen, I have a promise.
Yes.
He said if we ask anything,
yes,
he would do it.
Amen.
If we're asking something and we know it's in the will of God, listen, you'll be there and your seed with them.
Yes.
You and your house shall be saved.
Yes.
So you look at someone that's not saved and you say, oh, that's a real case. God's going to have a hard time with this one. That's just unbelief. And we're all guilty of it. We use our natural eyes. And listen, here's the problem. Our carnal mind is enmity against God. That means it's the enemy of God.
Amen.
Don't try to reason it out. Don't try to figure it out. But in your heart, say, the word of God said, I don't understand how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it.
Right.
Amen.
You know, and here's the thing. When we start believing the impossible, it affects our behavior. Woo!
Amen.
But if we disbelieve the word of God, that affects our behavior. Help us, Lord. Take away all unbelief. Take away all doubts and fears. You know, perfect love casts out fear. How many has the chains of fear today? Those chains can fall off right now today. I rebuke the evil spirits of fear in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose your hold. These people love the Lord Jesus, and perfect love casts out fear. You will walk by faith when you leave her today. You will not be driven by fear. You will not be driven by unbelief. You will be driven by the love of God. And you are an overcomer, and you'll face the devil in all the impossible situations. Say, I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I rebuke thee in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, if I say to this mountain, be plucked up and moved and cast into the sea, it shall be done. And I believe with all my heart, it shall be done. My loved ones are saved. I don't care what they look like. They're saved. Now treat them like it. Love them unconditionally. If they manifest something wrong, just ignore it. We believe God is on the scene. Praise the Lord. Don't you love the book of Acts? It reveals to me a visible God. The God that loves to hide himself comes out of hiding. And when he comes out of hiding, supernatural things happen. And we can be part of that. All things are possible. Praise God. Our God is God. Let's go to Acts 12, verse 12. I love this part too. And we're going to get to something here. I want you to see. Acts chapter 12, verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, Peter, he had to come to himself. He's like, wow, what happened? You know, when the supernatural's happening, you're not going to understand everything. And then you come at him and say, wow, something supernatural just happened to me. Amen. You ever have supernatural happen? You don't really understand what's going on while it's happening. All right, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Isn't this a wonderful thing?
Amen.
Don't you love that?
Amen.
And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel, young girl, come to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, here she knocked at the door. Who's there? Rhoda, it's me. It's Peter. And when she knew Peter's voice, oh, don't you love this? I just love this. She opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood at the gate. So she got so excited, she didn't open the door. She's like, it's Peter. It's Peter. It's Peter. She runs running in the other room. They're all praying. Oh, God, save Peter.
Amen.
Peter's here.
Amen.
Now, look what the spiritual, saintly brothers and sisters did. And told how Peter stood at the gate. And they said to her, thou art mad. You're crazy, kid. Get out of here. We're praying. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And they said, maybe it's an angel. Because it can't be him. He's locked up in prison. He's got chains on his hands and his feet. God help us to believe. You know, when you pray, believe. Now, maybe not everybody there in the prayer meeting believed. But somebody must be believing there.
Amen.
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 Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him. They were astonished. Oh my gosh, it's Peter.
Amen.
That can't be Peter. They couldn't believe that God answered their prayers.
Amen.
That's the way we are.
Amen.
We believe and we pray and we pray and we pray, and then when God answers prayers, we're like, hey, how'd that happen? Wait a minute, we're supposed to have faith when we pray. Our expectations should be, when they heard a knock, it's Peter! What I want you to see here is that first church was human. They were not better. They were chosen. They were not better. They were chosen. It was time for the Holy Ghost to come. It was time for a Book of Acts church. See, and when it's time, God don't wait for somebody worthy because he'd be waiting forever. God just picks somebody and pours out his grace on them. Do you realize where we're sitting, standing today? God, it's time, brother and sister. It's time for God to move. And he's not going to sit there saying, who's the holiest one? Who's the most popular? Who's the most... He's like, who's staying with my word?
Amen.
Who's not perverting the word of God? Who's staying with the simple gospel? Who's not injecting man's ideas? That's what he's looking for. Oh, stay with the simple gospel. Peter continued knocking, and they opened the door. They were astonished, but he beckoning with the hand. He's like this. He's like, whoa. Hey, I just got out. Don't put me back in. Beckoning with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison, and said, go show these things unto James. I don't know if that's the one that was killed or another. I'm not sure. And to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. They were astonished. Let's be honest now. Have you ever prayed for something and God answers your prayer and you can't believe it?
Amen.
God really, I mean, he puts up with a lot.
Amen.
You know, I remember specifically a time in my life where I prayed earnestly for something and then I forgot about it. Because time goes on. And then later it happens and we're like, wow, that happened. I remember years ago I prayed for that. Wow. It happens to us. I really would like to be the kind of people that expects God to answer prayer. because he promised, if you say to this mountain, and doubt not in your heart, be plucked up and cast into the sea, it shall be done. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Yes, we know motives and objectives is important with God. But if you know your motives is right, if you know it's according to the word of God, amen, then you hold fast and you be perseverant like that woman that went to Jesus. She had her daughter vexed with the devil back home. You know, I kind of want to believe she tried to wrestle with that devil so many times, and she said, you know, you don't get nowhere arguing with the devil. Help us, Lord. It's insanity to argue with the devil. Right? So she hears about Jesus. She says, faith comes in. If I can just get to Jesus, amen, he can deliver my daughter. Amen. How is he going to deliver your daughter? I don't know how he's going to deliver. I just know I just got to get to Jesus. Amen. So the Syrophoenician woman, she comes, Lord. She's not a Jew now. He says, I'm not come to you. You're a dog. Can you imagine? It's not meat for me to give the children's bread to dogs. Did he say it? Does our God test us once in a while? Yes, he does. But, you know, I kind of feel like he knew she was going to pass the test. Right? And he was just showing everybody what kind of faith this woman has. He was showing her what kind of faith she had. But I love this kind of faith where even when God pushed her back, she humbled herself. See, that's when you know that you know that you know. You don't get all bent out of shape because things didn't go the way you want the first time. You say, God, I believe. I'm praying for my loved ones, and I'm still not seeing it. They actually look like they're getting worse, but I still believe.
Amen.
I still believe. Amen. Hold on. Is it God's will?
Yes.
I believe it is. You and your house shall be saved. Yeah, they'll be there and their seed with them. Praise God. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. Let's go to our grave believing. Not unbelieving. Not, oh, pity me. Oh, woe is me. Things ain't happening the way I want them to. No, let's have faith in God that he can change what looks impossible. Because with my God, all things are possible. Praise God.
Amen.
Beckoning with the hand to hold her peace. Can you imagine how they felt after that? Praise God. That had to be a boost to them. He said, listen, you know, an angel came to me. My chains fell off. I went through a couple walls and I was out in the street. Isn't it wonderful? Here I am now. Praise God. How about Philip? You know, he's down there and he's witnessing to the Ethiopian or whoever that was. And he just happened to be reading the scripture about Jesus, and he's like, is this prophet talking about himself or somebody else? Woo! It was burning inside.
Amen.
He had the answer, and this guy's asking.
Yes.
He come up there, and he started talking about Jesus, and he's preaching the gospel, and he's talking about everything, and repentance and baptism, and that man says, there's water. What the hinder now? Let's go.
Yes.
I love when God moves on both sides.
Amen.
And then he baptizes the man and he comes up and then Philip just disappears.
Yeah.
And Philip's like, yay! Where am I now? Our God is God.
Amen.
You know what? Get on the front lines. On the front lines is where you see the supernatural. I remember when working in a hospital, I had seen so many supernatural things happen because I was witnessing to everybody that came across my path. Everybody. You know, all kinds of religions come into a hospital.
Amen.
But I had something real. My God is God.
Hallelujah.
God sent a prophet to this generation, and I'm convinced of it.
Yes, sir.
Denominational religions. I felt sorry for the woman preacher one day. She comes in. I had to take her to maternity. I said, all right, I'll take you. I was respectful. I wasn't disrespectful. But we got on the elevator and the doors closed. And I said, didn't Paul say I would not have a woman teacher usurp authority over a man? She's like, get me out of this elevator. See, when light's there, darkness like bugs just crawl away from the light.
Amen.
It's like you come down and you turn the light on and there's little roaches and they just scatter.
Amen.
Little bugs just, you know, they can't stand the light. I didn't back off for anybody. I remember this one guy, he was all stuffed shirt and you know, I had to many times keep cars out of the emergency room area. Listen, don't park where you shouldn't park in the emergency room area. Come on, you're supposed to be a Christian. So this man, he was all stuffed himself, and he comes down, pulling down the side of the hospital, and I was outside, and he's like, oh, where's emergency parking or something? And I could tell he wasn't having no emergency. He was clergy, right? So he pulls his car around right in the emergency spot. Well, I walked right down to his face, and I said, sir, are you having an emergency? No, I'm clergy. I said, you can't park there. You got to park back in the garage.
Amen.
So, do you know who I am? In the garage, bud.
Amen. Praise the living Lord.
So I wasn't done yet with him. When he come back down, I said, I want you to know I'm a Christian. I'm ashamed of people like you doing things like that.
Amen.
Woo! He's like, what religion are you? What denomination? I said, I'm from the church of the firstborn.
Amen.
Tell you what, I didn't put up with any of that. I don't believe God likes religiousness.
Amen.
He likes something real.
Amen.
And if you really got the Holy Ghost, you'll humble yourself.
Amen.
You don't look to get an advantage over other people.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Help us, Lord.
Amen.
He goes, how long you been a Christian? I said, it's been 2 years. He goes, I get it. I get it. And I said, sir, how much religion did Paul get when he was struck off that horse going on to Damascus? Woohoo! That was a house on fire and windy day. I didn't put up with nothing.
Amen.
And I had all kinds of religions coming at me, all kinds of ideas. But you know what? My faith held strong. And when conflict comes your way, it just makes you dig deeper.
Amen.
And I was expecting people to get healed. I was in the emergency room, and I'm just like, I want to lay my hands on somebody. Lay hands on no man suddenly. Yes, Lord. I wanted to go around through the hospital just laying hands on everybody.
Amen.
But the Holy Slayer is going, nope. Lay hands on no man suddenly.
Amen.
And I was there one day in the emergency room, and someone comes in. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. Oh, and you know what the nurses do? Signing over there. You got any insurance? If not, get out. Yeah, that's how they are. They're just hardened people, you know. They got a gunshot wound back there, and somebody comes in, you know, with a little cut on their fingernail. So they've been through it. And so she's sitting there, somebody's signing, oh, Jesus, help me, oh, help me, help me. I think she was trying to call out to Mary, too, or something like that. I couldn't take it no more. So I went down, and she was sitting there. Behind her was a whole waiting room full of people. And I knelt down to her, and I said, ma'am, I'm a Christian. You believe if I pray, Jesus will make you well?
Amen.
She said, yeah. So I prayed for her. Right after I prayed for her, my beeper went off, and I had to leave. So I left that area. And when I come back, and just 5 minutes later, she was sitting on the side. She was calm.
Amen.
She was okay. I said, praise God.
Gospel. Amen.
Praise God. He can do anything.
Amen.
All things are possible.
Amen.
I remember one time there was a guy leaving out the front entrance. And I'll never forget these things because God is real.
Amen. Yeah.
And so this guy, he looked sick. And I'm a guard. I'm at the front of the hospital. And I'm on a shift like all night. And he's like, he's trying to walk out. I said, sir, you all right? He said, yeah, I got to get to the bus or something. And I felt so sorry for him. I said, well, wait a minute, sir. Sit down here. I'll get my car. I'll take you home. You know, that was wrong for me to do that, but I couldn't stand this guy to think of it. So I pulled my car up, and I was going to try and put him in the car, and he couldn't even get out of the chair. So we're at the front of the hospital, like a circle area, and he's sitting in the chair. And I said, sir, I'm a Christian. If I pray for you, you believe God will help you? And he's just like, yeah, you know. And so I prayed for him. I said, Lord, please help this man. Help him, Lord. You know, I'm just like, touch him, oh God. I got done praying. I get up. I'm like, all right, get up. You know? I mean, expectations, right?
Amen.
I'm like, I prayed.
Amen.
Let's see it happen.
Amen.
But right at that moment, you know what happened? A doctor, a lady doctor, came out the front door looking for me, and that never happened. Because the doctors, a lot of them are real uppity, and they don't associate with lower level people. I hate to say it, that's the way they are. I could witness the housekeeping, I could witness all kinds of people, but the doctors and nurses all stuffed up, they could drown on a rainy day.
Amen.
You know, pride is a terrible thing. Because
right.
God dwells in humility.
Amen.
And this humble little security guard had something burning in his soul that would have been good for him to share, but they wouldn't ever listen. So this doctor came out to me, and I was surprised. And she says, hey, I got a bicycle I need to keep somewhere. And I said, can you look at this guy? And so she looks at him. She checks him into the hospital. He got admitted to the hospital. There was something wrong with the guy. His wife was in the hospital. He was going home, but he got checked in the hospital. And so later that day, I was thinking, I said, Lord, that was you that brought her out here, wasn't it? That was you. You know, I kind of was wanting you to do another way, but you did it your way.
Amen.
You know, that's what I was getting from God. And I said, Lord, you know, I want to witness about that.
Amen.
Let me witness to that doctor. And I prayed with faith. I said, Lord, let me speak to that doctor about what happened there. And I will witness and tell her that you brought her out there to help that man. And I forgot about it because I worked, you know, till 2 a.m. When I was in school, I worked 6 a.m. to 2 a.m. And then I went to full time school, college. I didn't get anything. I didn't hardly get any sleep. How about it?
Amen.
So 2 a.m, I'm pretty tired. And I knew all the back ways down to punch out my card, you know. Right in your emergency room, there was a little hallway, not like from that pew to that wall. And then you couldn't really see beyond. If you went to the right, it was emergency. If you went to the back, it was a hospital. And I come back down through the offices. I'll never forget this for the rest of my life. 2:00 a.m, I come back down through the offices, and I come out the door, and I punch my card, and I put it down, and that doctor turns the corner at an emergency room.
Amen.
I said, can I talk to you? She said, sure. She was making her way back to the hospital. She had been in an emergency for something. Look at the perfect timing.
Amen.
So she comes out, and she goes down, and I told her the whole story. I said, listen, that was God that brought you to that man. She stops like this. And then I told her, I says, and I prayed to God that I would have a chance to tell you about it.
Amen.
She stops like she said. I'll never forget the look on her face. She goes, you know what? I'm leaving tomorrow. And I'm going to California. And I'll never be back here. And I thought, praise God.
Amen.
So he woke her up 2:00 a.m, sent her to emergency so I could witness to her. Huh? That's our God.
Amen.
When you're on the front lines, you will see the supernatural.
Amen.
You will see that God is in control. God heals the sick. God does it the way he wants to do it. But you got to have expectations.
Amen.
I remember I would take the church ages and the seven seals and Brother Bram's life story books, and I would go to the work like this. Somebody's getting this tonight.
Amen.
I'd listen to a good message. I'll never forget. I listened to The Mighty Conqueror. What a message.
Amen.
God is a mighty conqueror. I had a cassette tape in my hand, and I walked into the hospital at night. I'm like, somebody's getting this tape.
Amen.
Literally, like this. Who's going to get the truth? And you know who ended up getting it? It was the humble people.
Amen.
The housekeeping people. The people that, you know, people to... Because they were the only ones to listen. I remember I ran into Lopez that night, Mighty Conqueror. Lopez, you need to listen to this. He's like, okay. One day I had those books and I heard a guy go by and he didn't see me, but I saw him and somebody asked him, not me, somebody said, are you a preacher? He said, no, I love the Lord. I said, got him. On the radar. And I happened to be checking out and leaving. I got in my car, and don't you know what? I'm following his car, and he's in the passenger seat. I said, Lord, you are something else. We pull out on Staten Avenue. We're going down to Germantown Avenue in Philly. And I pull up next to this car, and I got the books out in my hand. And he rolls down the window like, who's this crazy person at night, you know? And I said, you a preacher? And he goes, I love the Lord. And I handed him the books. I said, search the scriptures, brother.
Amen.
He took the books and I moved on.
Amen.
Woo! I'm going to meet that man someday.
Amen.
Who knows what God will do?
Amen.
If you're willing to testify,
amen,
God will send you to somebody.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All things are possible.
Amen.
Don't you want to be on the front lines? I don't want to be in the back saying,
amen,
oh, things are bad. Things are bad. Things are bad.
Amen.
Things are good.
Amen.
The gospel's good news. The gospel still works. Jesus still saves.
Amen.
The blood is still on the throne, I believe, today.
Amen.
He's coming back.
Amen.
Oh, they were astonished. Isn't it amazing when God answers prayers, we get astonished? We shouldn't be. We should be full of expectations.
Amen.
Now, there's something I want you to see. They were human like you and I.
Amen.
But what made the difference? They had faults. They had flaws, just like you and I. We have faults and flaws. Right? You know, to be honest, we spend too much time looking at our own faults and flaws and the faults and flaws of other people around us. Because God's not looking at that. He's looking at the blood. He wasn't looking at me when He took me in. He wasn't looking at my heart that was blacked by sin. He was looking at the blood flowing rich and free. That precious blood that covers me. You know, we believe that.
Amen.
You know, when the Old Testament man went up there with the lamb and the priest cuts the lamb and the life goes out of the lamb, the priest is not examining the worshiper. He's examining the spotless lamb. God's not examining us. He's examining what we're trusting in. And I'm trusting in the shed blood of Calvary. I'm trusting that Jesus is a spotless lamb.
Amen.
So God's not even looking at me. He's looking at my sacrifice.
Amen.
And here's the problem. We can believe that for ourselves. What about for other people?
Amen.
Oh, no, Brother John. This guy's got faults. And come on. If we believe in the grace of God for ourselves, can we believe it for other people?
Amen.
Yes, I know. We want to see everybody living right, filled with the Holy Ghost, sanctified, living holiness. I do too.
Amen.
But don't be soured down with unbelief. Grace was upon these believers. Grace is what makes the difference. Great grace was on the church. Not that they were better prepared, not that they had better works, but great grace was upon them.
Amen.
Look at Israel. It's not that they were better than other nations, but they were chosen.
Amen.
Whole Bible's filled with all their flaws.
Amen.
Serving other gods, worshiping false gods.
Amen.
Chosen people? Yeah, they were chosen people.
Amen.
Sure, did they have to pay for their sins? Yeah, they had to pay.
Amen.
And many times we do too. If you go down the wrong path, you're going to suffer.
Amen.
Help us, Lord, to yield.
Hallelujah.
You look at Israel. You look at all those things, you know. Praise God.
Amen.
Abraham. It's not that he was a good man. It's not. But he was chosen.
Amen.
By election.
Amen.
Which is grace.
Amen.
God made an unconditional promise to Abraham.
Amen.
He said, stay in that land. Thy seed shall, you know, be more than the stars of heaven and sands that count the stars, count the sands. Right? And what's he do? He disobeys. He goes running down to Egypt. He runs away from the faint. He runs away from hard times. We do too.
Amen.
But the promise was still there.
Amen.
And God had him come back, be right in the promise, and he had Isaac the son. It took 25 years, but it still happened.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Grace. Great grace. Look at all the men God used in the Bible. All of them had flaws. They did not earn their position. But God, by election, chose them. Isn't it the same in the last days? Brother Branham was not a perfect man. I do not exalt the flesh of William Branham. What I believe is that God fulfilled a portion of his scriptures this day where he promised Malachi 4 and Elijah's spear would come and cause a restoration of back to the original faith.
Amen. Praise the living Lord.
That does not exalt the man. Now, some people found the message exalt the man. I get that. That's wrong.
Amen.
They're evil spirits.
Amen.
But if you yield to the heart of the message of the hour that came through this man, it'll get you closer to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the main thing.
Amen.
He didn't say, just look at me. He said, Christ in you.
Amen.
That's the mystery.
Hallelujah.
And then he manifested the power of God and said, the same thing can be in you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart, visions, miracles. Now we live in the day after this ministry.
Amen.
Let's face it, it's after.
Amen.
1965, he's taken off the scene. Sure, we still have the tapes and we get blessed by his sermons, but we're in the day after Brother Branham.
Amen.
Think about it. So we must ask the question, is God finished? Is it over? Is all we have now a dead letter? Is all we have now just teaching? Is all we have now just to listen to sermons? I don't believe that.
Amen.
I don't believe that for 1 minute. We were predestinated before the foundation of the world to be manifested sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Manifesting the power of God. God's not finished yet.
Amen.
Let me just, let's look at the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:14. I'll try and finish here.
Hallelujah.
Peter standing up with the 11. Lifted up his voice and said, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye supposed, seeing it is the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon turned to blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come.
Amen.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, I believe that Peter was right. They did fulfill that prophecy. I believe that. But many prophecies have multiple fulfillings.
Amen. That's right.
Out of Egypt, call my son. You know, you could fulfill that several ways. Now, this prophecy in Joel was talking about the last days. We have more claim to the last days than Peter did.
Amen.
We are really in the last days.
Amen.
And in the last days, God will pour out his spirit.
Amen.
That should be your expectation.
Amen.
If you want to pray in line with God,
amen.
Lord, send us the rain, Lord. Send your, pour out your spirit, oh God. Then you're praying in line with what God has prophesied. That should be your expectation. Brother Branham preached it, that the latter rain will come and it'll pour over all the world. The latter rain will go all over the world and the seed that's in you will come to life. You got a denominational seed, it'll produce that. But if you got the Word of God as a seed in your soul, it'll produce the Word of God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I believe that with all my heart. The latter rain shall come. It'll sweep the world. It'll be humble. It won't be a public show. We don't understand how it's going to be, but I believe it'll be completely supernatural. Power of God sweeping over us.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. God will keep his promise. Listen, the ending of this great plan will be completely supernatural. It's not going to be dependent on our righteousness or our works or us understanding everything. No, God in his time, when it's time, he's going to do it. When it's time, he's going to do it. Look at Mark 11. What did he say there? If you say to this mountain, be plucked up, the spoken word.
Amen.
We got a promise through this prophet that that's going to be more fully manifested than it has been.
Amen.
Can you imagine sitting there and speaking and something is created?
Amen.
I believe it's going to happen.
Amen.
Let's all stand.
Amen.
Jesus said, all things are possible if we only believe. Let's bow our heads to him. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Amen. Alexi needs prayer. How many needs prayer today? Just hold up your hand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're a needy people today. Lord, my hand's up, Lord. Lord, Brother Jamie's asking prayer for Alexi. Lord, we just ask you go to her right now. Whatever her need is, oh God, we don't need to understand or figure it out. We just know you're a supernatural God. And we ask you to move on the situation and touch her and help her and draw her closer to you, Lord. Use her for your glory and honor. Lord, you see all the hands raised here today. I don't know what's beneath those hands, but there's something there, oh God. There's an expectation. There's a need. Lord, we're asking you to be the same delivering God that you've always been. Deliver us, Lord. Deliver us from all evil. Deliver us from our carnal flesh.
Yes, Lord.
Deliver us from unbelief and fear, oh God.
Yes,
fill us with the Holy Ghost, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, touch each one today. Meet their every need. Your word said if we delight ourselves in you, you'd give us the desire of our heart.
Yes.
Thank you for giving us that desire.
Yes.
Thank you for meeting the needs of your people. Oh, Lord, thank you for Calvary.
Yes.
Thank you for the sacrifice that you made. Lord, we think about it, and it's just beyond our understanding. The God of all creation could pour himself down in flesh and suffer and die the way you did. Oh, God, let your spirit live in us, Lord. May you manifest your word through us. Bless each one today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you today for coming. I trust that God will bless you and touch you and just have expectations. Expectations. All things are possible. Let's sing that song, Only Believe. Only Believe. All things are possible. Fear not, little flock. Yes. Fear not, little flock. From the to the throne, from death into life, he went for his own. All